Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. A small crowd with us here tonight, but an enthusiastic crowd. That's what we like to see at this time of year. It's very cold outside in Sault Ste. Marie if you're listening in from elsewhere online tonight. And Damon Whitten is with us. And a tough weekend, Damon. Sixth time this season this team's been swept. That's more than anybody in the country. That's not good news, but it was a really hard-fought series against Minnesota State, and they are the number one ranked team in the country. I watched the Saturday night game in its entirety, and a tough 2-0 loss there, 5-1 on Friday night. Let's talk about that series.
Yeah, well, it starts obviously a lot of credit to Minnesota State. You know, Mike's done a tremendous job over there, and it's kind of interesting being over there. They hosted home football, home soccer, so, you know, they're really really going as a university and heavily invested in their athletics, which has helped them. You know, it's interesting. I think they're one of two schools in the state that are growing in enrollment. And so, again, just a really, you know, good job across the board there at the university, but certainly in athletics. They've used athletics as a tool to grow enrollment and then keep humming there. So they've done a really good job. You see it not only with hockey, but across a lot of their sports. And, you know, Mike's certainly done an unbelievable job there with that program. And I think a lot of people will be watching them, certainly. Not that I don't want to say the regular season is not going to matter, because it's you know, to be ranked number one for weeks on end is a tremendous accomplishment. They're going to be right in it, you know, to win a regular season championship. I'm sure they'll be involved in the WCHA playoff championship. But certainly, you know, I think, you know, people are going to be watching how that team does in the NCAA tournament. And I think they're built really well for it, even though it's still a one-game shot. So you never know what's going to happen in the one-game shot. You know, not many weaknesses in that lineup. You know, some very experienced players, and there's a couple scouts and agents that were there at the game as well. And, you know, really surprised to see the ages of that team. You know, Mike's done an unbelievable job. They really only bring in 20-year-olds for the most part, and then they get guys to stay. You know, guys, Mackey had chances to sign, Michaelis have had chances to sign, Toomey's had chances to sign, but they come back. They're on a bit of a mission this year, and you can see that in the way they play. So, you know, a lot of credit to them and what they've done, you know, all season long, and certainly this weekend. You know, I think the, I guess maybe the positives in as much as you can take them when you don't win hockey games is, I think, being in one goal games in the third period each night. You know, special teams really cost us on Friday night. They scored 3 power play goals. One was kind of cleanup time there, but 2 power play goals early on. And then, you know, that's the difference in the hockey game. I thought we were right there with them in some regards. And it's a one goal game on the road, which you'll take even against a team like that. And then we had a bad turnover for their third goal against. We got caught partly on a line or on a icing. I think we had 3 fresh guys on the ice, 2 tired bodies on the ice, and we had clean possession and just kind of puck flipped a little bit on us, didn't get a clear out of our zone, and that's them. You know, they can make you pay on a play like that. So that third goal really broke our backs. But again, I thought we were right there with them in a lot of ways. Merrick Smitten had to be unbelievable, especially in the first period. Came out a little bit flat, you know, and maybe just adjusting to what they are bringing. And I thought Merrick's was unbelievable, like I said, in the first period. Kept it a tie game, and, you know, through 20 minutes. And then they scored the first 2 there before we made it 2-1 late in the second period. We had a lot of life and momentum going into the third period. One goal game, as I said, and, you know, it's kind of coming right down to the wire till they make that third goal, you know, almost a 10-minute mark of the third period there. So a tight-fought battle. And then, you know, a lot of similarities on Saturday night. I thought the really maybe the highlight of our game was our penalty kill. As much as they, you know, victimized us on their power play on Friday night, our penalty killers came out, did a great job adjusting, executing structurally what we need to do and want to do. And I thought our penalty kill was really good. We gave up a shorthanded goal, can't convert on a power play, including a 5-minute major. And again, you know, special teams are really hurting our team. You know, it's something we as a staff have to get a hold of, I have to get a hold of, and find the right personnel, find the right groupings and structure to be more effective, you know, because we did have chances to tie that game or get a lead. Even in Friday night's game, we had an early power play. We had 2 really good chances, you know, could have been up early 1-0. But weren't able to convert on that. But, you know, so similar games in some ways. It's a one-goal game, you know, really to late in the the third period on Saturday, and I thought we gave ourselves a lot of chances or opportunities to be right in there and try to steal one on the road, but you're not able to get it done. So here we are again, you know, frustrated with the results, but I do think it's a game we can learn from and need to learn from as we move forward and face another top 10 team in Bowling Green this weekend. So it just seems like, you know, every weekend, whether we're on the road at Notre Dame or Denver in our building, it's been, you know, interesting to have a schedule that's just absolutely loaded. And I think obviously it's hindsight now, but we have not had a bye weekend this entire first half, and I think that's you know, hurt us at this point. And you don't know what that's going to look like, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when you're building a schedule. But certainly that'd be a change I would like to make if I could do that over. You know, I think that we needed some time at some point to regroup and improve and get some better practices in and some longer practices. Our schedule has not afforded us to do that, and you know, so I think that's been a challenge as well.
Yeah, I think we need flat out need some rest right now too, and we'll get some here over the Christmas break. But man, you come back really quickly, and you got to go to a tournament in Vermont and play against a really good Providence College team the first game, and then Vermont in game two. And it's just, there's no rest here. Yeah, we must be wicked. There's no rest for us.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're wicked or not, but there is obviously a big, big series with Bowling Green. You know, we're, I think the other kind of interesting thing about our schedule first half was Bemidji, you know, twice in 3 or 4 weeks. Now Bowling Green twice in 3 or 4 weeks. You know, you don't often see the same team, especially in conference, that quickly for a four-game series. So that's really unique to the way our schedule's set up. You know, Bemidji was leading, was first place in the WCHA before the weekend. I think Mankato jumped them. You know, Bowling Green, they might be a little bit more down with some games in hand, and I think they'll be a home ice team when it's all said and done, and the top 10 team. So it's been a real challenge, you know, and I think, you know, our record is not totally indicative of who we are. I think we're a little bit better than our record shows, but we also have to play, you know, somewhat of a flawless game and need, you know, everybody to be playing on a given night. If we don't have our best effort, we're not going to win hockey games right now. And, you know, we've been a little bit inconsistent that way. So, you know, we're still looking for some answers, obviously, and need to get better for a big, big test this weekend.
Yeah, we scored one goal on the weekend. It came off the stick of Pete Violette. He's been about as good a player as we've had offensively, contributing in recent games. He's moved up to third on the Laker team in scoring now with 12 points. And I thought he played pretty well. The game on Saturday night, it was really hard to watch that game, and there was no sound on it, so you don't get a feel for it. But we didn't create much offensively. We had maybe two or three real good scoring chances in the entire hockey game, and you're not going to win games if you can't score a goal.
Yeah, well, it's 7 or 9. I think it was lower than, you know, you'd like it to be. But again, that's a credit to Mankato. You know,
yeah, they're good.
They're that good, and they've done that to everybody they've played. So they do deserve credit. You know, I think anytime you play them, you know your grade A's are going to be down a little bit because of the way they defend, the way they possess pucks is another big part about it. They're probably you know, been the best team this year in terms of making us defend in our D zone a little bit, and they've got some zone time on you and possess pucks. You know, and I think again, we wouldn't be alone, but they're you don't get many second chance opportunities against them. They've got so much mobility and speed on the back end, and they do it with big bodies. So they've got elite sticks, they've got good reach. So you know, you might get a good shot, but very, very rarely do you get in tight and get a second chance opportunity. You know, McKay is very, very good on the first shot as well. He really commits to making that first save, knowing he's got a lot of support around him. So not surprising that, you know, your grade A's are going to be down against a team like that. I think they do that to everybody, but it is certainly something, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to meet them again at some point down the road. And, you know, we've got to find a way to generate more, as you said.
Yeah, it's a tough battle, and yet you look at this schedule. We played those six straight games with Denver, at Michigan, and at Notre Dame. We thought that was tough, but it hasn't gotten any easier. Everybody you play, Bowling Green's really good. Minnesota State's good. Bemidji's having a heck of a year. The only times we've played a team that's a little bit less than those teams is when we've won. We beat the Merrimack to start the season, and Ferris State we swept here, and we did manage to get a double overtime extra point against Bemidji with a really good effort on a Saturday night.
Yeah, and the Saturday win at Bowling Green was another one of those you know, better efforts on the year against a really good team. Yeah, no, it really it's been a bit of a grind schedule wise. Like I said, you know, you in hindsight you build a bye week in there and have a chance to regroup a little bit. You know, injuries happen and you can't change those, but losing a couple of key guys is certainly not helped our team. It was great to get Braden Gelsinger back. No, not that he was 100% game speed, but we basically threw Braden right in there, you know, in a top six, top nine role. Didn't kill much, if at all, on the weekend. Got some power play time. And again, he wasn't, you know, back to his normal self there, but I think it was a really critical weekend to get Braden as close as he can to game speed. And I think we'll be better off for getting him back up in there. So, you know, that was really good. I thought another really good part too was the way our decor played. Again, late in the game Friday, we gave up some goals, but it's a tight game. You know, played well in front of Merricks, who had to be good, obviously, against that team. But you lose a guy like Sockerman, who plays, you know, 26, 28 minutes a night in all situations. Very difficult guy to replace in our lineup. And I thought guys like Alex Semendo did a very good job. I thought Arvid Henriksen had a really good weekend against, you know, a great opponent. And, you know, Tyler Anderson did a good job back there, along with the guys who we talk about a little bit more, maybe. You know, Jacob Nordquist seems to be, you know, back almost 100%, which is good to see. You know, and again, I thought our D played really well, especially when you consider the replacing some really critical minutes that Sockerman typically eats up.
Yeah, we did miss Sackleman too. One thing I noticed, we had the 5-minute power play on Saturday night, and we didn't really have any net presence at all. We did move the puck a bit around, but it was all on the perimeter, and Minnesota State's just too good for that. They'll steal the puck away. They'll clear it down the ice, and that's what they did. And we really didn't create much with that power play. And I thought Sackleman's absence was really noticeable. He's always a guy who gets right in front of that net, kind of like Diego did last season.
Yeah, I mean, we've used Colin down there for a couple of years in that role. You know, basically you're taking his defensive ability in terms of understanding shot lanes and being able to block shots, putting him net front offensively to take away the goaltender's eyes and create a screen. And, you know, he's done a really good job down there over the years in developing that skill and coming along. So, you know, we do lack that a little bit. You know, we don't have a lot of right shots either up front in our forward group. So I know one of the units I was working with had five lefties on it, and that, you know, can be a little bit challenging to generate different looks when everybody's a left shot. You know, but again, I you know, we've not been very good in the power play, and, you know, that's on me to find some personnel that can make it happen. I do think there's some, you know, responsibility on the players. You know, we've got some very talented players, and for some reason on the power play, you know, we've not been able to go out and execute. So we're trying to balance some personnel and figure out some solutions with getting some guys to respond and be a little bit sharper in that scenario as well. But, you know, we've got to get it fixed, not only for this weekend, but for the second half. It's going to be really important for us. And, you know, it's not been good early on, but we can't look back and pout about that. We got to get it fixed and move forward.
Yeah, it doesn't get easy either. You got this tournament in Burlington right after Christmas. In fact, all the guys will be coming back either on Christmas Day or the day after to get ready to go out to Vermont. And then you go straight from Vermont right up to Alaska, and you'll play in Anchorage the first weekend. And then I think it's a Thursday, Friday or something, the second weekend. They give you a little bit of a break there, but you're going to play in Fairbanks and then come back home. And then you get a weekend off.
Yeah. Well, you know, the break will be good. Obviously, we're in finals right now, and you know, that's tough mentally, and coming off the bus trip, and, you know, I think 18 games, whatever it is, you know, our guys are definitely fatigued. You know, I like the way they've handled themselves through this, both as individuals and as a locker room. But this is a tough week, you know, when you're getting through your finals, and then, you know, you're up late studying and coming off a really tough road trip that had some travel issues getting home. So, you know, this is a challenge right here. And then I think we get almost 9 full days off. So that's a good break. You don't get that very often in hockey. We are going to have guys travel back Christmas Day so we can skate late Christmas night. And, you know, that's always a tough part. I think we've all dealt with that for many years in our sport, and any hockey parent knows what the holiday travel has been like for them growing up. But we'll get guys back. I think we'll be fresh. We'll be ready to go. Providence will be a big challenge as a top 5, top 7 team for sure. You know, Vermont's had a tough year, so that'll be a little bit of a different look there. We'll get home for a couple days here. We'll travel home from Vermont, get back to the Sioux for a couple days before that long trip to Anchorage, And then you had yours a little bit backwards. We're actually Saturday, Sunday in Anchorage. So that gives us an extra day to get back to the Sioux, get some ice time in, get rolling. They've gone back to campus site. So it's an NHL sheet. I'm not even sure if it's a full NHL sheet. It's a little bit of a smaller rink and set up there. But we'll get a couple days to get adjusted up to Anchorage, play in their new on-campus building or their practice facility, essentially, what has been for years. And then we'll spend a couple extra days in Anchorage before going up to Fairbanks for a typical Friday-Saturday series. And then when we get home, as you said, we've got a bye week. So we'll look to get guys a couple days off coming off the holidays. And we spent a lot of time this week looking at recruiting schedules, and we'll all hit the road during the bye week. And then even, I think, 2 weeks after that, we have the national program for one Friday night down in Plymouth. And that'll give us another chance to really shore up some recruiting things late here in the season, looking at both still some guys to come in and join us next year, but certainly get a look at some younger prospects as well. So it'll set up okay. I think we'll be fresh down the stretch run, and I think the Christmas break will be really good for our guys to get back home. I think everybody except for one guy is getting home, which is challenging to do when our guys from all over the country or the world at this point. But, I think the guys will look forward to it. They'll be ready after Saturday to head out and recharge and refresh a little bit.
All righty. We're going to take our first break of the night. When we come back, we'll talk about Bowling Green coming in this weekend. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show over at ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. And a cold Tuesday night, I might add. But we've got Bowling Green coming in this weekend. And wouldn't you know it, Damon, once again, we're going to have no students here. It's kind of like Thanksgiving
when
we played. We didn't have any students.
Tough.
Now it's the end of finals week, and the kids are going to get out of here for Christmas. And you know they're not going to stick around just for a hockey series. So we're going to be struggling again to get a decent-sized crowd and get some enthusiasm in that building.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's just a little different when the students aren't there. So that's it's challenging, and it seems like we've had that a lot of my years getting caught in the wrong breaks. I mean, it's got to happen to somebody. There's games going on in a lot of different places. You know, hopefully Friday there'll be some students left, but like you said, we wouldn't expect a ton of students in town. I think, partly due to that, it is a good promotion where any youth under the age of 17 can get in free with a jersey. Certainly a good chance to bring some kids in and try to replace that energy of the college students there and, bring a little life and energy in there. But, yeah, I think it's challenging. You know, your players certainly notice that the decibel level is different when all those college students are not there. And so we'll ask some of the old timers back there to be a little louder and be rowdy this weekend there. But that's a challenge, and again we'll address that with the team. They're aware of that, and but it changes the environment in that arena, and that could be challenging.
Well, Bowling Green comes in here 11-5-1 on the season. I'm still trying to figure out how they have 17 games. They must have had one single game one weekend, but one of those losses is against the Lakers 3 weeks ago, a 3-1 Laker victory on BG's ice. Probably our biggest win of the year. I mean, we played really well. And one of the keys there was, not that it works every time because it didn't work at Bemidji, but we scored first. Yeah. And once you get ahead, it's a different kind of game. Then you can play defensively a lot and stop the other team, and you can get the win, and that's exactly what you did that night.
Yeah, well, I don't think we go into defensive shell or anything like that. I mean, maybe late in the game you're protecting a lead, but you still got to play the right way. But, it certainly has been a challenge, for us. We have not had the lead a whole lot, and, it's hard when you're chasing the game and, you're trying to play with your structure and be patient, but you're down one or two. And, that's what happened Friday in that, I think, 5-0 loss. They scored two in the first period fairly early on, and we just chased the game the whole night. And that might have been the first weekend without Nordquist as well. And, we kind of saw what a big loss Nordy was to our back end. But, you certainly want to get off to a good start and, have that lead and control some things that way and be able to take the tempo of the game into your own hands there. So that will be a big part of it. I know down there, too, I think there was 15 penalties on Friday night. So it was just I don't know. It's challenging to go in there, though, the way the game's called, the way they like to play, especially in the open building. And they'll be the same way. They're a very hard team. They're a very heavy team. To me, the stick works a little bit, out of control. So I would like to see a good standard set early on in the game. But you have to be ready to take a hit to make a play against Bowling Green. They're not going to pass up a hit or a chance to go through you. And I thought Saturday we were really good. We had guys taking the hit to make a play, sacrificing their body. We did a really good job of allowing their D to step down and put a puck behind him. Gave up some odd man rushes because of that, or created some odd man rushes because of that. And, that same mindset's going to be, really important for us this weekend.
Yeah, I kind of look at the stats on these two teams, and Bowling Green's a lot like Minnesota State. They're very high up in a lot of statistical categories. I think they're 13th in the nation in goals for at 3.35 a game. They allow 2.29 a game, which is 15th in the country. Their power play is 26%. That's seventh in the nation, and it's not as good as Minnesota State, but it's still pretty darn good. And they're 12th in penalty kill at 85.7%, and the Lakers are not in any of those areas anywhere near as good. We're at 8% now on the power play, which really needs work, and we got to figure something out there. There are some questions here on the power play tonight from our fans who are here with us too, but we're not scoring as many goals. We're allowing too many. That's totally different from Bowling Green, and yet we did beat them 3-1 down there.
I think one thing with their power play being the way it is, a lot like Mankato, we talked about the experience in those lineups, and, they've got guys who've been around a long time. They got a defenseman with over 100 career points. I'm not sure how many times that happened in the last 10 years. So they, they've got some really experienced guy. I think they only play one freshman, every night. So, they've been around a little bit. They've won. They know what it's like to win and, compete for the league and be in those environments there. So, they've done a good job. Obviously, a coaching change with Bergeron moving on and Ty sliding into the head coaching spot. And then, Ty has done a good job, keeping that rolling there. And, we'll have to be up for the challenge there for sure. I think our numbers in some areas are improving a little bit. We've been better defensively as of late, certainly on Saturday nights. And, for us, that's going to be the big thing moving forward, continuing to defend at a high level, cutting down our goals against, we're not consistently scoring a lot. So, you better be great defensively when that's happening. And I think we're understanding that more and more and executing that more and more, which is where we're going to need to be for the second half.
Yeah, they're kind of a funny team offensively. Well, not funny, but it's different when you have defensemen leading you. And Alec Rauhauser, the big defenseman, does lead them with 6 goals and 18 points. Connor Ford, another D-man, has 17 points. 8 of those are goals. And then they've got Cameron Wright and Alex Barber, each with 16 points. And they played 3 fewer games than the Lakers, and those are all more points than Max Humitz has, although Max does have 9 goals and has had a pretty good senior season.
Right, yeah, and it was on a good pace early on before, I think Bemidji is one of those top defensive teams in the country. Mankato, where they won, I think they might have been one. So, I think that's, been one of our challenges for sure. I thought we had some guys that got off to good starts offensively. Scoring was not the issue. It was keeping the puck out of our net. But that slowed down here as of a little bit late. And I think you start, gripping your stick a little bit, putting more pressure on yourself to help the team out or make those game-changing plays when you just got to keep playing the right way there. So I know Max, is, been a little bit gripping it because of that. There's a lot of pressure on him to produce for our team. We've talked a little bit about a lack of secondary scoring. We don't have many guys that have contributed offensively, in a secondary type of role. Alex Ambrosio is doing a good job that way. Dustin Manns has got a little bit. Miro Muka, we need to get him back in some regard because Miro did contribute as well and one of those guys that has the ability to do that. But it would be nice to have some guys emerge in some of those areas to take some of the burden off a guy like Max Humitz.
Yeah, it's been a tough last 8 games or so for Ashton Calder, too. He hasn't had a point since we played Ferris State when he was forward of the week, had a tremendous performance, 2 goals, 3 assists. And he's probably pressing a little bit. He's a sophomore, a little bit younger, so not as experienced. But we played really good teams in here, and it's tough for guys. They know who to watch. They know who to keep an eye on. I think they make it really tough for Humitz, every team we play against.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like you said, there's a couple guys that when you go into the weekend, you know who you need to shut down and be aware of. And Max is certainly one of those guys. I think Ashton, being on the all-rookie team last year, is one of those guys as well. Like I said, when your secondary is not contributing and you go on the road and they can match up a checking line and their top D pairing, for the most part, hard against your top guys. That makes it challenging. You know, we've not been able to maybe, you know, try to get away from matchups as much as we'd like. You know, we've not played a real deep bench with a lot of minutes there. So, you know, again, we're trying to get a little bit more out of there and work with some guys to get them playing there a little bit. You know, I thought Dustin Manns is one of those guys. I thought Dustin had his best weekend maybe of the season, you know, against a really good opponent. So that was good. Brian Basilico has been playing better as of late. I thought Brendan McKay had his best game of the year Saturday as well. You know, was really good on the penalty kill in particular. And you know, did a better job. So there's some guys moving the right way, and you know, they've got to speed up and do it quickly because you know, two big games before Christmas, and now you're in the second half of the season.
It looks was going to ask you for an injury report late in the show tonight, but we'll do it now. It looks like Sackleman's going to miss quite a bit of time here. He's got a lower body injury that's going to keep him out. Is he the only person right now who's hurt with Gelsinger coming back?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know, everybody else, you know, some minor things going on, but nothing too major. I think the early news too is Sock was probably done for the season, unfortunately. Pretty you know, devastating injury for Colin as a senior and with his aspirations moving forward there. You know, we understand he'll be undergoing surgery next week. Back home in Minnesota, and that should probably essentially cost him his season, which is you know, really devastating news, not only for Colin but for, you know, our team and what he means to our team in so many ways there. So, you know, really unfortunate, and it's obviously part of all athletics, but you know, I think it's crushing when it's one of your seniors and it's a guy that is so dedicated to his craft and so dedicated to our program and all about Lake State. So certainly he'll be rejoining us after the surgery to finish the semester and you know, continue to do what he does on and off the ice up here. But yeah, game wise and then practice wise, we'll be missing Colin for the rest of the season.
All righty, the news doesn't get any better here. We're going to take a break, our second of the show tonight. We'll be back. We've got questions from our fans who are with us here at the Antlers. Stay with us. Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for our third segment tonight of the Laker Hockey Show, and this may be, we're trying to figure it out here, whether we can do a show next week. This may be our last show until mid-January because Damon's going to be gone next week. All the assistant coaches are going to be gone. It's a holiday break for them, too, and they're going to go to other places for Christmas. And that would leave us with me and Matt Pocket to talk Lakers for an hour, and nobody wants to listen to that. So we'll probably not do a show next week, but we'll decide between now and the end of the show tonight and let
lots
you all know.
To
we've got questions from our fans here tonight. Some of these are pretty interesting. Here's a good one for you. Here's a fastball right down the middle. What are the Lakers missing that would make them be more successful against teams like Minnesota State and some of the other teams they played? Are they lacking mobility? Are they lacking speed or stick skills? What do we need to work on to be as competitive with those teams?
Oh, that's a tough one. yeah, so much for a fastball down the middle plate. You know, I mean, obviously, it's going to be a little bit of everything. You know, Minnesota State's the best team in the country, and you know, they've made a lot of people, you know, lose games, and you know, games not nearly as close as our games were. So, you know, they've got experience is one thing. You know, they've won a couple championships. They've been to the tournament. You know, they've learned how to win, which, you know, we felt like we did in some ways last year. And it hasn't obviously translated the way we want into a new year. So we lack some experience in some areas. I definitely think, you know, our skating ability as an entire team is not where it needs to be to match up with a Mankato and some other teams. You know, different teams play different styles. You know, today's game, you have to be able to skate. And you see guys who are effective are good skaters. You know, you have to play with a lot of pace in today's game. So I think that's an area that, you know, we definitely want to continue to focus on and upgrade and improve our own guys on. And, you know, those are probably a couple of the key areas.
What is your philosophy on the play of your centermen? Do you prefer having your centers play low and help out more defensively in your zone, or do you like them out higher so you can facilitate a breakout better?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I, you know, I think a lot of it, you know, depends a little bit situationally. You know, we're not, married to, like, hey, you're the center, you're a low guy. You know, today's game, a lot of times you're a little bit more positionless. Our first forward back would be our center, our low guy. So, you know, on a track habit or a track route, your first guy back's going to play low. And then a little bit depending on, you know, what teams are doing. When you play a team like Bemidji who doesn't possess it much, they're going to, you know, switch sides of the ice on their first touch, low to high. You know, you have to be very comfortable to defend away from your net because they climb and get away. And then maybe a team like Bowling Green, who's got a little bit more of an old school cycle approach and try to possess pucks and be heavy on pucks, you know, you're going to play a little bit lower in that situation. So it's a little bit opponent dependent, you know, in those scenarios. But, you know, I think for the most part, you know, we want centers with good support routes and good support options and, you know, playing a little bit lower, I guess, based on this question. But certainly have to have the ability to get out and transition and help breakouts and things like that. But usually their role on a breakout has more defensive responsibility than, say, an offside winger who's maybe trying to push the pace and stretch a team out. That center, in case of a breakdown, has to be in a good support option as well.
There's a lot of stuff you've got to know when you're playing this game, and it's played at a really high speed pace, and you got to be able to read what's going on, and that may be part of the problem because that takes experience sometimes. Do you have specific drills for when players don't have the puck?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. That's a huge part of it. I probably, as a coach, you might spend more time on some of those drills. You know, players probably like the up and down and some of the skill and the odd man rushes, and you certainly hit that as well, but you know, you spend a lot of time drilling those habits, as you say, without the puck. And I think, you know, as a coach, sometimes it's frustrating. Those are the things that take no skill. You know, you should be able to show up any single day, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and do all those things that take no skill. You know, you can communicate, you can track, you can box out, you know, you can block shots. You know, all those things take no skill. And, you know, it gets repetitive to have to drill them and drill them over. You want it to take hold and guys to accept those roles and do that the right way. You know, we've been a little bit inconsistent at times, but no, there's a lot of time spent, you know, how you defend, positioning, stick positioning, things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of drills that you spend a lot of time on working without the puck for sure.
Merrick Smitten seems to be moving away from the net a lot more this year. He's playing the puck out back of the net. He's almost to the corner sometimes. Is this a planned step in his development, or is it something that you decided you need to do to have a little bit more help in the defensive zone?
Well, I think it's an ability Merrick brings. You know, I think every goalie is a little bit different. You know, played with Ryan Miller, he wasn't elite at that age of playing the puck. He didn't do it much. The year before, we had Chad Albin, who was another, you know, All-American and Hobie candidate, scored a goal, you know, one game. Chad would be everywhere, and he was unbelievable at getting out and making decisions. You know, so it's definitely a skill set you have or don't have. Guys who don't have it are going to stay a little bit closer to home and not wander as much. Guys who are pretty good at it will get a little bit more comfortable getting out and playing puck. So I think what you're seeing is a more experienced goaltender, a little bit more of comfortable goaltender to get out and do it. So it wasn't really planned saying, hey, we need it more. But it was also at the same time, you know, we know Merrick's has that ability, and he's been, I think, done a really good job of helping us in our breakouts. We've also changed our neutral zone forecheck a couple of weeks back, and then that's changed a little bit how we get back for pucks and some of our routes. But for Merrick's, it's an ability he's always had. He's just a little bit more comfortable now as a junior with more experience to get out and play pucks a little bit more often.
Another question here that has to do with recruiting, and we're going to talk a little bit about recruiting here in the last segment of our show tonight, but what are the strongest selling points of Sault Ste. Marie and Lake Superior State that you push to recruits?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a lot. You know, everybody's different, you know, and I think whether you're here or you're at Boston University, you have strengths and weaknesses to your university or your program and things like that. You're recruiting against different people in different scenarios. So I think certainly one of the things is the history tradition, you know, of our school and more probably more so our hockey program. Obviously, you bring a kid into our facility and you see championship banners, you see NHLers all over the place. And so, you know, everybody in Michigan knows of Lake State and the history on the ice, and the people have come through here and played at our school. So history tradition's a big one. You know, we obviously on the jersey, we put the lake with the five stars of the five national championships for a reason. So history tradition's a big one. I think the other thing that, you know, in today's kids aren't always, you know, overly interested, but our city, our campus is a campus and city about relationships. You know, everywhere you go, you're going to know somebody, your professors know you, which to me is, you know, where I went to school, where they didn't know me and I didn't know them. It blows my mind to see how committed our professors are to our student athletes. You know, that they know them, first of all, is pretty remarkable from a lot of my experiences, because that doesn't happen a lot of places. But everybody's going to know who you are. They're going to care about you. They're going to take you in. They're going to gripe about the power play when it's not going well, and they're going to pat you on the back when you're playing well. So the relationships are a big thing. You're going to come get an outstanding education because your professors are invested in you. They know who you are. You know, and to me, that's a great thing. Now, you know, the other side is a lot of 19-year-old kids maybe aren't interested in that, or they want a bigger city or a bigger campus. So, you know, we do have to dig through some of that and make sure the kids we're targeting and going after, you know, are interested in that size of a city and that size of a campus, and that's somewhere they can see themselves thriving and being successful.
Another of our fans here tonight said he just saw an ad for a Lakers night at a Red Wings game on February the 1st at Little Caesars Arena. What's that all about?
Oh, man, that's the Alumni Association.
Yes.
And through some of our you know, social media or websites, you can find out a little bit of information. I don't know the date top of my head. Did you say the date?
February 1st.
February 1st, you know, so I think we were playing, I believe. So we won't be involved, unfortunately. Is that the national program weekend?
Yeah,
okay,
that's
Friday.
The weekend.
Same
you
night,
play
maybe.
On Friday.
Yeah.
They play this. We're talking Saturday.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe
same,
you know,
weekend.
I haven't decided yet if I'll get a chance to get down to that, or, you know, cover some ground recruiting. But yeah, just a chance for alumni to connect at the hockey game and then be around. Obviously, you know, I think we have an event for the national program game the day before as well, and then that'll kind of carry over to a Red Wings game. So a great chance to get down there. I was just talking with one of my sons. He's got practice at 5:30 and dropped him off. One of his coaches there just talked about how he won some tickets and got to go down and spend time with Jeff Blashill and tour the facility. And, you know, just an unbelievable experience for him and his young son to, you know, to be down there and go through the locker room and the setup there. So it's a great place to catch a game. And again, I've got to figure out if I can make that or not, but it sounds like a great event and, you know, some cool gear with it as well, with the cool Laker hat with the Red Wings in our colors. So
yeah, they're going to have that at that game on the Saturday night. And just to make mention of it too, the Alumni Association is holding a pregame at USA Hockey's arena. It'll be at CJ's Brewing Company, which is the restaurant that's within the arena there. If you've never been there, it's a spectacular place for hockey. And that's before our game on the 31st, where we'll play the under-18s. We played them last year and beat them, and it'll be tough this year. They're a pretty good team.
Well, they're always a pretty good team, right? And, you know, it was good. Like that last year, that was a couple of weeks before the GLI, and you know, for us, there's a lot of eyes on that team, and obviously recruits in that area, a lot of alumni down there. So it was a good game for us, kind of leading up to the GLI and the GLI championship. So we enjoyed going down there. Obviously, they come up here some years, and we don't have anything worked out currently. But my guess is we'll get them back up here at some point. But we just found it really valuable to be down, you know, in Plymouth, in Detroit, and, you know, some kids come to get to see us play. Obviously, you know, beating them last year where they had beat, you know, a lot of universities, went out and beat, I think, Duluth St. Cloud right after our series. You know, that helped us on the recruiting trail, and we really liked it. So we'll be down there, get a chance to recruit before and after, spend some time with alumni at CJ's and maybe the Red Wings event as well. And, you know, it was a really productive weekend for us that way.
Yeah, in case you missed it too, the players of the week this past weekend, the forward of the week was Aaron Miller from Bemidji Stadia. 2 goals, 3 assists in the 2 games against Alaska. They split that series, but 5 points won him the forward of the week honors. Defenseman of the week, Alec Rohauser. We'll see him this weekend. The big defenseman, the senior for Bowling Green. He had 4 assists in a sweep of UAH. And the goaltender of the week, Dryden McKay. Who else? He got a shutout and a 1-goal game. 41 of 42 shots he faced against the Lakers. He stopped. And the rookie of the week, they really didn't have a whole lot of choices here, but Nathan Smith, who's an outstanding player. First-year player from Minnesota State, won that honor for the second time this season. He had 2 assists in the 2 games against the Lakers. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Final segment, Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, it's our final segment of the show tonight, and we'll let you know by the time we get off the air tonight whether we're going to meet next week. We're kind of kicking that around right now. It's going to be tough. Damon's going to be gone. Mike York's going to be gone. Zach's going to be recruiting. We won't have a coach around. We could try to piece something together for next week, but we'll see what the sponsors say about it and let you know before the end of the show tonight. Damon, what are the plans here for the break now? When will the players come back after Christmas to get ready to go to Vermont? And then how does that Vermont trip work? When do you leave? When do you come back from that and then go to Alaska? Let's run right through
that. Yeah, good question. Yeah, so post Bowling Green Saturday night, guys are free to go. Obviously, a lot of our guys need to fly back home to their destination. So a lot of guys have Sunday planned to travel, to fly at least. I think one or two other guys might be a day or two sticking around town before driving back to their homes and home bases and where they're spending the holidays. And like I said, I think guys get almost, about nine full days. Christmas Day will be a travel day for everybody. We're going to practice in the evening. And I think, with experience, the problem is if you don't go to the 26th, you're going to run into a travel issue somewhere when you're flying from all over the world. And even Yuki's going home to Japan. Somebody's going to run into some weather, some travel delays. So we're, my guess is we'll be missing a couple of guys possibly Christmas night, but hopefully everybody's back ready. We'll probably go two practices on the 26th. I think the 27th is when we fly to Vermont. We're going to go across the bridge, fly to Toronto, over to Montreal, bus down. Really the only way we can make that trip happen was to do that with Alaska looming on the back end. And Kevin Sneddon at Vermont was great to kind of work with and make that happen. And then also Anchorage, we had talked with earlier about, if they're interested in playing Saturday, Sunday, which they were open to doing. So that allowed us to slide this Vermont tournament in, which we're excited. We went a couple of years ago and enjoyed that. So we'll look forward to that. Monday, we travel home from Vermont. That'll be a travel day. We don't get into later in the evening on Monday. And then practice Tuesday, Wednesday here, back here in the Sioux, before making our start up to Anchorage. So I think it's a Thursday travel day up to Anchorage. That's a full travel day, 17, 18 hours to get there. So you don't practice on that day. And then Friday, we'll get a practice in at that practice rink. I spent 2 years up at Anchorage, so I know the facility. Didn't play games there ever, obviously, but I think it'll be a little bit of an adjustment for our guys. And then I think it's a 5 o'clock game Saturday and a 3 o'clock game Sunday. So actually, for anybody back home wanting to listen in or watch on Flow Hockey, they won't be too late to start, which would be kind of nice, but a little different for us. And then from there, we'll have to, we'll spend a couple extra days. I think Monday off day in Anchorage, Tuesday, Wednesday practice in Anchorage, and find some things to do to keep the guys a little bit entertained and busy. And then we'll fly up to Fairbanks on Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, head home on the red eye Saturday post game. And then we'll get into that bye week and some recovery and, move on and WCHA play. And hopefully we're rolling in the second half.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's extra tough for the Lakers to do this kind of stuff because the Christmas break involves guys trying to go home. You just said Yuki's going to go back to Tokyo.
One who's not. I think Merrick's, if I remember correctly, might be the one guy who is not. He's got some Latvian, I don't think it's family, but friends in the Chicago area. So I believe he might be the only guy who's not getting home this holiday. And, it is interesting. Like you said, those guys travel back. How ready to play will they be? So that's going to be, some decisions we have to make, for those lineups and those travel parties.
Or will they miss a connection and not be around?
Exactly. That's going to happen. There's going to be some travel issues with the length we're traveling. And that's
weather.
Unfortunately why you practice Christmas night to start getting guys back to campus and, try to move from there.
Yeah, you got some other stuff too. We didn't really go into details, but when you go to Vermont, you're going to fly out of Sioux, Ontario and go to eventually Montreal and bust down. Is that it?
Yep, exactly. Like I said, that was the only way we could make it happen with Anchorage looming on the back end. We just didn't feel like busing, was going to work. So again, we worked well with the Vermont and their staff to make this work that way. So yep, Sioux, Canada to Toronto, Montreal. I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from there. Our flights got pushed back, unfortunately, on the way out of there Monday. So we're going to get, a half day up in Montreal. We'll rely on Pete Viette and maybe touch base with Anthony Nellis to see, what our guys can do. I've never, maybe when I was little, went to Montreal. So I'm kind of looking forward to checking some things out there and, be a chance for our guys to maybe experience something a little bit different up in Montreal. And then, like I said, we'll get home and look up, turn the page towards Alaska.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting trip. Burlington, Vermont's a great place, and that's an old barn of a building. It's the coldest building I've ever been in, but be like being out in the parking lot here at the Antlers for a couple hours. But it's going to be fun for the players, I think, and then we get into the second half of the season. Let's talk for the final few minutes here a little bit about recruiting. Is there anything new there at all? We've got some players who are signed NLIs who are coming in. We mentioned Bengston last week. And anything else there?
You know what? I don't think we have a back in hand. We had a verbal commitment a couple days ago from a forward. And, again, I don't think we've gotten the NLI back quite yet. But hopefully we should be able to next time we go on the air, which is going to be possibly next week. And if not... couple of weeks after, we'll know a little bit more at that time and hopefully have that finalized. So that's moving along there. And, you said you're always looking, still a lot, transfer portal was busy this last week or two. There's a lot of things going on in the transfer portal. Maybe we'll update that in January as well and what that looks like. You're just out working. I had a couple of calls today. We've got one of our verbals got traded or picked up today, so he's going to have a little bit of a change of scenery, and I guess we can't talk about him regardless, but a good movement for one of our young guys, a chance to kind of move up and get some games going here. So that's really what it is. You're trying to stay in touch with all your guys that are committed or signed, and you're asking them who's playing well and what's going on. But there's still a lot of movement going on. So we need to address a couple areas still, and we're going to work diligently to make that happen.
All righty. We're almost out of time here tonight, too, with the show. But nothing new on most of the fronts. It looks like Jesse Tucker's definitely gone. We can't call him and ask him to come in the second half of the season here. He would bring 15 goals with him.
Well, then you lose a year of eligibility. Not many kids are very willing to do that. We did it with Ambrosio a couple of years ago with a bad birthday, which if you turn 21 in your last year of junior hockey, then you start your clock and you have to go full time. So we've looked at that, and you always talk about that, and keep an eye on guys like that as well. But again, I think there'll be a lot that'll happen. There's a lot of schools that are overspent and are going to have to start dealing with the reality that they can't give a kid what they promised him or offered. And so you hear a lot about it. Got a call today on a kid that's been, committed for a year or two, and the kid's going to change his mind. So, having some space and money available late, I think, become a really, smart way to do business, because a lot of good players become available late in the process now.
All right. That about takes care of it here tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're not sure whether we're going to have a show next week or not. We'll have to let you know this weekend. On our hockey broadcast, we'll be there for both games with Bowling Green, the Falcons coming into town. And Damon, good luck this weekend. Merry Christmas to you and your family and all the coaching staff. We'll certainly talk about that this weekend a little bit more, but looks like you will not be here for sure next week.
Yeah, no, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, and hope everybody has a great holiday season there. And thank you, Bill, for all you do. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more Thursday morning and then Friday and Saturday pregame. But we appreciate everybody's support out there, and looking forward to a great weekend of hockey before some time off, and enjoy some family time and the holidays there. So thank you.
Don't forget, if you've got a kid who's playing hockey, in fact, he doesn't even have to play hockey, any jersey, show up in a basketball uniform, you're getting in free this weekend, Friday and Saturday nights. That's a great promo right there. And we'll hope we bring out a lot of youngsters who will make a lot of noise against Bowling Green State. That takes care of the Laker Hockey Show. Thanks to the fans who are with us here tonight. Matt Pocket for helping us out here. Emily Pentecost back at the station. Bill Crawford, so long until the new year on the Laker Hockey Show.